Hi, everybody. How are you? Welcome to What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. If you're on the live stream, you've seen a little bit of nonsense already. But if you're not on the live stream, you can catch us just by luck, really, because we don't schedule these things very well, do we, Pat?
We don't. We don't. We write it down, and then we lose the paper we write it on, and then one of us is waiting, and the other one's doing something we probably don't want on air.
I have a very, very sophisticated scheduling system that I've been working on for years, and, you know, I'm amazed that I still actually miss an appointment now and again, but it's, you know, it's coming together. And maybe if I put this in front, that'll work out better. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Pat, for coming out. You know, tonight we do this about once a month. We get together just to talk about what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And God, this world gives us so much material. We could probably do one of these shows every night. Mm-hmm. And maybe with your help, if you make a donation, we could do that someday. This would really be a dream job for both of us, I think. Right, Pat?
Move on. We'll take the money, but I'm not going to commit to the
other evening. I guess I'm having more fun than you are with this. So a couple of things we want to get out there over the next two nights. We're going to have two really important panels on our Wednesday night live stream with Diane Moxley. We'll be having a number of environmentalist groups get together. Talk about tactics and strategy. We're seeing these school strikes out there. We're seeing XR rebellions blocking traffic. 350.org. Our friend Ted Glick from 350.org is bird dogging Governor Murphy all over the state to try and get a moratorium on fossil fuels construction. And Ted's going to be joining us on that panel. And we're going to talk about the different ways that we can make, make policy that really makes sense and is going to save our planet and is not just politically expedient or easy or what the establishment tells us is possible. So I think that's going to be a great panel. And then the very following night, I did not want to wait another week before we got a report back from our comrades who just got back from Venezuela. We are hoping Ajamu Baraka joins us. I'm not sure about that yet, but I do know Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers will be joining us on a very special panel Thursday at 7 p.m. And we're going to talk about what they saw when they were in Venezuela, when they met with President Maduro, when they toured the streets of Caracas and other areas of Venezuela. It was very important, and I think something that there's not enough reporting on. We've seen CNN deliberately report bad information now. I mean, that article was in the paper. CNN's out there telling people that, oh, my God, these aid trucks were coming in and the horrible Maduro regime was setting them on fire instead of helping his people eat. And then lo and behold, there on videotape is supporters of Juan Guaido and this ridiculous staged coup by the CIA lighting trucks on fire on the Colombian side of the border and trying to make it appear as if they were being attacked. It's pathetic, really. And it needs to stop before we go wind up in a war. So we're rushing that panel, and that'll be coming out on Thursday. Both panels, of course, will be available everywhere you can get a podcast, on our YouTube channel, right here on Facebook as well. And the last thing I'll plug before we start making fun of things, and this will help us make fun of things, is our community cannabis forum. Our comrades down south, Heather, and our new intern, Ryan, is working real hard down there. We're glad to have some new organizers on board, and we thank everybody that volunteers for New Jersey Revolution Radio. Nobody gets paid, so we're grateful for every little bit of work we get. This is going to happen on April 4th, 7 to 9 p.m. at 353 South New Road in Pleasantville, New Jersey. Speakers are going to include Henry Hank Green, Hugh Giordano from UFCW 152, the only unionized, legalized marijuana facility in New Jersey, is represented by Hugh and his local, as well as Ken Walski, who most state activists know. Ken has been around for a long time on this very issue and others, as well as the Reverend Francois from the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And of course, if he's not in jail, New Jersey Weedman will be there. And I know we're talking to him and we do wish him luck. He's saying he's going to sell some weed in, I think, a couple of days here. He may well be locked up, but we're going to make sure that he still participates in this forum, irregardless. And he will be featured as part of this forum. So if you can make it down, check out the website, check out the Facebook page. And weed's going to be legal, Pat, our favorite subject over this, the course of this year. I think we've talked about it on every show.
We have.
It is the
gift that keeps on giving.
Let's keep beating this horse.
I'm afraid we'll have to find other things to talk about pretty soon.
I guess, you know, the state will be moving on. You know how things are in Trenton. Yeah. The state will be moving on. But I don't think communities that really need help will be moving on. What's the latest and greatest, Pat? Have you looked up this law, and can you tell us the details?
So the latest and greatest is, as we all know, the legislature is very good about setting deadlines and sticking to them. Just like Brian here, they're very good at scheduling things and then sticking to them. I think Senator Sweeney probably has that mountain of paper or whatever you just showed us on the camera before. So the new deadline is that they are going to hold the vote on the new marijuana legalization bill by the end of the month.
Right
now the magic date is this Monday the 25th. Sweeney has already said that if it does not pass in March, he doesn't want to bring it up again until after November. so we're getting ready to move on.
What happens in November that's so important that he wants to wait?
His rationale was that after March, a bunch of people are on vacation in April, so can't do it in April.
In Colorado, they're going to Colorado.
And then once May comes around, he's going to be beating down Phil Murphy again over the budget, so we can't do it then. So he said if it's not in March, it'll be after November, which is when the lame duck session starts, and they can sort of do whatever they want.
Do you think it's better that they pass this shit bill and start, you know, this whole process of legalization? Is it better that they hold up and we try to correct some of these injustices? Because this is a shit bill by any measure of any.
What's interesting is that they're pretty open about it. They do not have the votes yet in either house. They're close, but they don't have the votes, and that's not something they usually admit. Usually they just don't put the bill forward until they know they have the votes. I mean, if you remember over the past couple of months, it was pretty much a blame game between Steve Sweeney and Phil Murphy.
Right.
Sweeney saying that Murphy's not helping whip votes. Murphy saying that Sweeney never called him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like two teenagers in high school fighting with each other.
It really feels like that at times. And I would say, I mean, you never know which way Sweeney's coming or going, because he says he has the votes for all kinds of things and never has.
Let me tell you how Steve Sweeney gets the votes, because today they passed both bills, or the bills, through the committees in both houses to get them onto the floor. Because as everyone knows, those bills have to go through committee before they can go to a full vote.
Yeah.
So in order to get the bills through the committees, and forgive me, I don't know the name of the committee it went through, they switched out Democrats on the committee with ones that were in favor of the bill, and then they allowed people to vote that were not present. And that's how they got it through the committees. And even though the Republicans don't have, 2 ounces of power in Trenton, they're just sort of dumbfounded that people that aren't present, which is not something they ever do, are just being allowed to vote on the bill, get it on the floor, and try to rush it through on Monday.
Right. And you don't normally change out people on a committee for one specific bill. You're usually on a committee. You're on it forever.
For the session, or you don't get switched out based on.
Yeah, no, you don't usually pinch hit, you know. Was Sweeney standing over on the side, like tapping his arm, like two fingers on his arm, like.
Yeah.
Bring in another Democrat. Yeah. Bring him in. You know, I mean, what was going on there?
Yeah.
He's calling signs over in the corner, tapping his head, grabbing his crotch and spitting on the ground.
Well, in fairness, he was probably doing that anyway. He wasn't invited to the bill. that was just a normal Tuesday morning.
So I'm torn on this. I mean, you know, it's not like it's hard to get weed. I mean, let's face it. I mean, weed man's been running around. He's smoking on the front steps.
It's interesting to bring it up, because that's one of the things that we've talked about, was that in large part, you know, what is this bill going to do to the people that are already buying it from someone?
I mean,
theoretically, they're just going to keep going to wherever they've been buying it. Because up until now, they were fighting over what the sales tax rate was going to be.
Yeah,
the legislature wanted 12%, and Murphy wanted 25% because he's clueless.
Right.
So their compromise was instead of a sales tax percentage, now they're going to tax it $42 per ounce. Flat. There's a flat tax.
Here's what happens, and I don't know if I've harped on.
And I don't know. I don't know who's going to pay $42 more than whatever they're paying now to go buy it.
The black market's going to do fine. Legally. The black market's going to continue, and it's going to do just fine. It has in Colorado, and it has in other places right. where they've taxed. The black market stays, and it does just fine. So whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what happens, right? And this is a result of how politics works nowadays. And I don't know. I'm listening to all the grassroots activists and all the people that are on the ground and the people that have followed Weed Man and Sativa Cross and these people. And that, you know, some of them, there's two camps that are like, oh, great. They're all celebrating. They think they've won. And the activists and the people that are concerned with the social justice aspect of it. And that's, you know, where I come from. And like, you know, you got people locked up for this shit. You let them out and clean their record before you let white people make a lot of money. We know the capitalists are going to get their cut, right? The state's going to get their cut. The capitalists are going to get their cut. That's all they care about.
This whole thing is about they want
right.
the revenue to, you know, to plug holes in the budget or pay for other things. That's all this has ever been about.
Right. And to me, so if you're coming at it from and to me, I'm seeing the people that are concerned not understand why they're not being heard, why nobody's even this isn't even the conversation. Right. Like you said, the conversation is the capitalist conversation. It's right. it's how much we're going to tax and who's going to be able to sell it and how much it's going to cost to be a permit. But the conversation isn't steered towards what about people that have spent whose lives we've ruined by throwing them into jail by a law we're now admitting should just have been legal, right? And we're right. going to allow other people to become rich doing what we've destroyed. There's reparations that need to be made there. And the reason why we're not, and that's not a part of the conversation, it's not a part of the law, and Phil Murphy and Steve Sweeney don't give a fuck about any of those people because those people aren't represented in the halls of Trenton. And, no. you know, you could be out on the streets, be honest with you, throw these protests, and you and I, Pat, have been involved in planning protests and getting out there. There's a networking aspect to throwing an event. There's some rah-rah involved. It's really good. But the bottom line is none of these groups hold power where it matters in passing policy in New Jersey. And so the social justice aspect, nobody gives a fuck about it. Because this entire...
I think there's other
issues where there is some social justice representation through unions and nonprofits and stuff like that. So I do think that, but when it comes to this issue, this has been completely controlled by corporate America. It's been completely controlled by the capitalist guys. The conversation has been about making money on this product from day one and never been brought up properly by a community of social justice activists here in this state, you know, and that's why, and I hope that those of us, if we get a chance here, if this shit doesn't pass and Steve Sweeney's going to lie about things for another year, we have another, I think, you know, people need to learn a lesson by what we're seeing here and say, you know what, we have really got to organize and not just play, you know, not just be stoners and smoke weed all over the place, you know, which is fun. And, you know, it brings a point, there's a purpose to that. But we have to organize around this issue. We are not well organized around this issue in New Jersey. I don't see it. And I think I think that's apparent. I'm sorry. I just talked for a while. I'll shut up.
No, that's all right. I mean, that's why people tune in, right?
Do they tune in?
We're going to edit that part out.
Never to share. Yeah. Oh boy! So, you know, that's where we're at, man.
There is one more cherry on top, just to show how delusional and dysfunctional these people are.
Yeah.
So transitioning a little bit into the budget, because Phil Murphy had his budget statement, I don't know, 2 weeks or so ago. So in his budget proposal, he put an estimated $80 million in tax revenue from recreational marijuana. So they believe in the new budget starting July 1st, assuming there's no shutdown, that they're going to make $80 million in the next year through taxes. The problem with that
is that if they pass the bill tomorrow, they're not going to have it up and running for 12 to 18 months. They've been very open about that.
Right.
We've seen it in other states take that long too.
Yeah,
giving people the licenses, setting up the businesses, blah, blah, blah. Mm. They're not going to be ready for 18 months.
Bribing, we have to spend a lot of money bribing union officials to give workers shitty contracts.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of shady shit that
happens. A lot of shady things have to happen before we do things in New Jersey.
So if they're not going to be ready for a year and a half, how the hell is he going to make $80 million? Does he not understand how that means? He's a Wall Street guy. He should at least be able to understand the basic math of this. If the industry's not up and running to tax, you're not going to make the money.
There's a lot of problems with what you just said. First off, he's a Wall Street guy. He should understand money. Wall Street has not been doing a good job with money from what I've seen.
It's very simple.
It is simple. You're right, he's from Goldman Sachs. And normally what you do, and I joke with Heather, we're doing the books. We're trying to figure out how to organize around money here and finance New Jersey Revolution Radio, right? And I messed up. I paid for something I shouldn't have, or so I ran into whatever, and it was like $15. And I said, you know, if this was Goldman Sachs, I would fire somebody, tell everybody that it was their fault, and give myself a bonus. And that's the culture at Goldman Sachs, the culture in capitalism, the culture around this whole thing in government now is the same culture. So no, Phil Murphy's going to make $80 million. And if he doesn't make $80 million, he's not going to be held accountable.
No, who gives a shit?
It's
not that he is or he's not. There is no way for that money to happen.
No. That doesn't matter. Just say it.
That is all. I'm going to put this in here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. When you're not held accountable, and when you've come up and spent whatever, how many years, how many decades in a culture that is simply not held accountable, then you can make weird promises, man. Now, if I tell you I'm going to give you money.
That's the exact same way, because these people are not, they're never going to be voted out of office. New Jersey's never going to elect a Republican legislature, so they can do whatever they want.
What are you talking about? We've got a Republican legislature in there right now.
They will never elect a Republican legislature called Republicans.
Let us talk about some of these whatever the hell they are, such as your good friend. I believe he is your representative.
He might be my representative, but good friend.
I believe he's a state senator, Vin Gopal, who's a rising star here in New Jersey. The Democratic Party can't put this guy on enough pictures and Facebook posts. He has now a nonprofit named after himself the Vin Gopal charity that gives away money to small businesses and stuff, $1,000 grants and stuff. But it's the Vin Gopal something or other. I'm not going to plug it.
We should stop there and mention that if this nonprofit was planning on donating to New Jersey Revolution Radio, they should stop listening and just end it now.
I don't know if they're going to make that consideration. I'll have my people call their people, and
okay.
We'll see. But so Mr. Gopal, I mean, you know, man, I mean, we've been through this for 5 years. I organized for a minimum wage. We did some great work. We had some fun with the coalition, Growing Pains as an activist for a lot of people. And they passed a shitty law that I don't endorse, and 15 now doesn't stand behind. But we're not done quite yet. It's not good enough that they got in all these horrible loopholes, the phase in that I think it was the year 7,084 before we actually get to a decent living wage, by which time at least we'll all be dead of climate change. But that is not good enough. In Politico on March 14th, there was an article titled "Lawmaker Seeks Safeguards to Counter the Quote Negative Consequences of Minimum Wage Law." Mr. Vin Gopal is introducing a bill to change. Now, Governor Murphy signed the law. This is the crappy law that he signed. You're going to get to $15 an hour for most workers. Most workers by 2024, a ridiculously long amount of time. People needed it like 5 years ago, so I don't know what the hell that does for anybody. The minimum wage will rise to $10 on July 1st of 2019, $11 in 2020, and then it'll increase $1 an hour every January 1st until reaching $15 on January 1st, 2024. But of course, there are carve-outs on this law. So farm workers in particular, agricultural workers, will top out at 12. And there's other, so that is on top of even the long loophole. Not good enough for Vin Gopal. He wants to suspend the scheduled increases in case of an economic turndown. Now, Pat, you have Trenton, and you have these business lobbying douchebags all over the place. And I've been involved in negotiations with capitalist pigs in my life. There's always an economic turndown. There's always a budget cap. There's always something. There's always going to be an excuse not to give these raises. So we know step two after passing any kind of thing like this is declare an economic turndown. How is Vin Gopal continuing not only to do dumb things that are really dumb, I mean like really dumb, but get praise from Democrats all over the state as a progressive? People think this guy's progressive, man. They're delusional. I've had conversation with Democrats that see him as a progressive leader on par with like Bernie Sanders. You're in his district. Where did he come
from? He's in my district.
He's in your district.
He's in my district.
He is in your district.
Yeah, we are looking to redistrict his home out of the district, though.
Just his house? I bet you could get away with it if you had enough pullage, right?
Yeah.
You're just going to...
Not even his town. I don't know what town he's
in. No, his house. His the sidewalk will be the border. It'd be like the Vatican of gerrymandering right in the middle of Rome. So there's
if you think about it, though, if they're calling him a progressive in New Jersey as compared to what in New Jersey? I mean, Phil Murphy is considered to be a progressive in New Jersey.
Dear leader.
A leader. Then he does dumb shit like pass a $15 bill that cuts people out. Considering passing a marijuana bill that's watered down, you know?
Dang, I'm leaning towards...
But maybe these are the progressive Democrats of New Jersey, because it's not like the Democrats have anyone to the left of them in the state.
They're absolutely clueless. And I was in a forum with Vin Gopal, and somebody asked him, this was during the election. Somebody asked him, how do you feel about police violence? I mean, what are your plans? How are we going to tackle police violence in this state? And of course, many of us that pay attention to the news saw that report come out just a few months ago, that the use of force report done by, it was NJ.com, I believe, right? I'm sorry.
I think so.
Yeah. So, so obviously, so much abuse of police power going on in the state. And Vin Gopal at the time answered, he said, I don't really think that's a problem in my district. Mm-hmm. That's what he said, man. That was his real answer. And then I think it was somebody looking, extraordinary like me and sounding like me that said, didn't that officer shoot his wife in broad daylight in Neptune, New Jersey recently? And he said, oh yeah, that, douchebag. Yeah. I mean, this guy is out of touch. He's like many other capitalists who've, he's got some money. He's got his own foundation now, the Vin Gopal Foundation or whatever the hell it is. And he thinks everything's honky-dory for everybody else and really can't see the kind of suffering and oppression going on right in the areas he's responsible for representing, man. You don't see it. You don't get it. And I think that's a sad commentary on the state of the Democratic Party, as is most commentary on the state of the Democratic Party here in New Jersey.
But even if you look at what he's talking about in the bill, not just an economic downturn, but the list of things that he puts in there on how they could suspend it. I mean, I don't know by how much, but he has in there that if the unemployment rate drops, if the employment rate drops, if unemployment goes up, that's a reason to suspend the minimum wage hike. So it's not bad enough that people are losing their jobs, but let's fuck over the people that are still employed.
It's definitely, I remember, you know, hearing them give the standard capitalist responses to raising the minimum wage, small businesses, yada, 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 yada. And I can't say it enough. And I said it to them then, and my answer has been the same for 5 years. If your business can't afford to pay a living wage, then we don't need your business hanging around. Get out of here with your nonsense. You're not entitled to own a business. What is it about small business? Who's put this idea in people's heads that if you run a business, you can force people into poverty? Fuck you, dude. Who are you? Why are you so goddamn special? You get to live your dream. Keep maybe 2-3 dozen people, families, whatever, in poverty. Screw you. I'm just so sick of it. And I don't understand how that argument has become so pervasive. Most people in this country are not business owners. Most people in this country work for a living. They're the proletariat, man. And I think... I don't know how to get through to it.
I do think part of it, you know, sort of falls to us on the left because we, you know, like when we were doing the 15 Now stuff, you know, you focus so much on like the big corporations, you know, the Amazons and the Walmarts and, you know, McDonald's, the fast food workers and all these, companies that have a lot of workers, which does make sense because they are royally screwed over. But I think we give so much focus to them, we sort of forget the big picture, and we forget all the people that are in the, you know, the smaller jobs, you know, things like Uber.
Yeah.
All of those things just sort of get ignored because we focus on the big corporations. Not saying we shouldn't, but we do have to have that overall picture.
Well, I think corporations have set the tone overall for business in this country. And there was some, you know, in early on in 15 Now, even going back to the Seattle campaign, I know, you know, there were some efforts to maybe reach out to small businesses. The idea that, you know, there's some small business owners that are decent people out there. And I got small business owners in my family. I've been a small business owner. You know, yeah, not everybody who owns a small business is evil, just like not everybody that does anything, you know, is completely evil. But, you know, that outreach educated me into the fact that, you know what, they've all got the same kind of mindset, though. And when you're a small business owner, you're not accountable to the same laws. You need a certain number of employees to be liable for FMLA, for instance. You know, small businesses don't have to worry about those kinds of guidelines. They're not under the same kind of regulatory scrutiny and don't have the massive resources to have HR departments and things that large corporations do have. Mm-hmm. So small businesses, I don't think they're inherently evil, even if we were to get rid of capitalism altogether. I think the idea of having a little shop that you call your own is part of something that should be encouraged amongst the proletariat, because there's a freedom there, and it's a fun thing to do, having done it, I could tell you that. But I think that they've taken on the mindset of, as most of us do, and even working class people that you know in your life, well, you know, we have to defend the bourgeoisie because I might be them one day. And I think a lot of small business owners are under, you know, that same illusion that, well, I'm going to be the next Bill Gates. I'm going to be the next, what's his name there? You know, the Tesla owner. I'm going to be that. So I need to defend that class, even though, mm-hmm. you know, their class is the proletariat, the working class, their neighbors and their friends. And they want to defend the bourgeoisie, though, because they see themselves as that in training, mm-hmm. you know, and really what they are is, you know, Chamber of Commerce has a lot to do with brainwashing these, you know, this kind of mindset into mm-hmm. the petit bourgeois.
I do want to point out that New Jersey Revolution Radio is the only place you can find people dropping F-bombs and using words like proletariat and bourgeoisie.
You, the cultural heritage in New Jersey really is always going to come through.
You're so academic and stuffy.
Holy fuck. You know, it's a cross of my upbringing and the toxic masculinity I deal with every day.
It's that socialism with New Jersey characteristics coming into play.
It is what we try. It is what we try to bring to the forefront. Did we miss anything tonight, Pat? What haven't we made fun of?
Yeah, I'm sure we missed a lot of things, but that's all I have on the list for this evening.
Terrific. Any events coming up? What's going on with Socialist Party?
A lot of stuff coming up. We have our state convention. I believe in May we should be announcing that soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll be doing stuff pretty soon.
Awesome. So I do, before we go, I want to make a recommendation. I ate at the Olive Press Eatery in Metuchen, New Jersey. It's a Palestinian restaurant. A Facebook friend of mine opened it up. I've been watching her. She's documented carefully the process of opening this up. I encourage, I think that sharing food from different cultures is a wonderful thing. And I don't personally do enough of it. There's also a nice little social justice book wall that she has there that you can look. There was a biography. I didn't have the money at the time on me to get it, but there's a biography there. I'm going to go grab it. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want anybody stealing it from me. But please check out and support the Olive Press Eatery in Metuchen, New Jersey. They didn't pay for this plug, but I promised I would mention it because she's a good comrade, and it's great food, man. Go there and check it out. So thanks very much.
You might get a coffee out of it. Who knows?
Maybe. We'll see. I don't even know if they listen to the show over there, but I'll message her and let her know that we mentioned them. Good cross-promotion. But thanks a lot. And if you can help out New Jersey Revolution Radio, you can go on to the website www.njrevolutionradio.com. Yep. You can make a contribution.
You can buy a mug.
We got a few more tchotchkes coming out soon. We got the cannabis forum coming up. We're going to be out and about. If you would like to find out about becoming a partnering organization with New Jersey Revolution Radio, we go out, we live stream people's events, we help with website work, we can do some help with maintaining and organizing databases. So there's a lot of different services we provide with our partnering organizations. Give us a call or an email message or whatever through the website. And that's it. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Let me cue the music here.
Yes.